Now, finally, I'd like to ask that our gracious host at the University of Illinois, Chancellor Michael Chicago, UIC, Chancellor Michael Amoritis, comment briefly on the Chicago campus and give us an overview of some of the great work that is going on all around us. Chancellor Amoritis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm delighted, actually, to be among the first to congratulate you on your re-election. It was a close vote, but it worked out very well, as well as the rest of the officers of the board, and thank you. Thank you for the work that you personally and the entire board has done on behalf of the University of Illinois system, and particularly on behalf of UIC. And my job in the next few minutes is to make you feel even more proud about UIC. So let me start by saying that since the last meeting of the board, UIC conferred approximately 3,000 degrees in December, and over 75% of the undergraduate students and 50% of the graduate students participated in the commencement ceremonies on December 15th. This was also the first graduation for the John Marshall Law School under the UIC banner. We had two great speakers, Andrea Zapp, President and CEO of World Business Chicago, was our speaker for the graduate ceremony, and I much appreciate, Trustee Dale, your presence in that ceremony, and Curtis Granderson, who is a UIC alumnus and Major League Baseball outfielder and philanthropist, spoke to our undergraduates, and Curtis's gift to UIC of $5 million is the largest one-time gift from a professional athlete back to his or her alma mater, and in fact, Curtis is having discussions with us on how to enhance it even further. We were also delighted to be joined by approximately 70 Golden graduates. These are graduates from the class of 1969, that they came back 50 years later. And since we began this welcoming back reception for our Golden graduates in 2016, we have seen a surge of alumni interest and participation in this ceremony. Later this afternoon, UIC will be welcoming Professor Juan Jose Cabrera Lazzarini to mark the opening of the U.S. Midwest Faculty Liaison Office of Tech de Monterrey. Correct me if I don't have it wrong, right, Instituto Tecnológico de Monterrey. Tech de Monterrey currently has faculty liaison offices at Harvard and at San Jose State in California, and this is part of their program and their strategy to emphasize research through international collaborations. So USC was an excellent choice for them in the Midwest, not only because of our location, but also because of our good partnership in medicine and engineering. And we need to remember, because we are a Hispanic-serving institution, one of only 12 or 13 Carnegie One institutions who have this designation. This opportunity will build an even stronger relationship between USC and one of Mexico's leading institutions of higher education. And the initial areas of focus will be on ophthalmology research, a collaborative program through the Applied Health Sciences based on a certificate that we provide in healthy living practitioners, and Tech de Monterrey wants to actually take this program and apply it on their own campus, as well as faculty exchanges and student exchanges. Yesterday at ASAC, we discussed extensively the role of faculty and the need for more hires. While the discussion focused on the teaching component of the faculty's role, I would like to offer three examples today for the research activities of our faculty members and the impact that they have, not only academically, but also in a societal frame, given our role and our obligation as research universities in the system. In doing so, I would like to highlight the work of Professor Susan Hughes from the School of Public Health, who is also the director of the Center for Research on Health and Aging. Professor Hughes recently renewed for a fourth term, that's 4 or 5 year terms, that's 20 years that she has this funding, the center that she runs for health promotion for aging adults. The focus of the center is on the functioning and quality of life of older adults, identifying health promotional interventions that having the greatest potential for broad-based public health impact. These next 5 years, the focus of the center is going to be on physical activity promotion among older adults, enhancing mobility, balance, walking, harnessing technology to improve scalability and fidelity, and incorporating mechanisms that sustain behavioral change. Dr. Hughes also testified last fall in front of the Congress with respect to the Older American Act, so it's very well recognized. I would also like to highlight the work of Rachel Kasky. Professor Kasky is in the College of Medicine, and she's the Program Director of Residency in Medicine and Pediatrics. She recently was funded by the Health Resources and Service Administration, HRSA, the amount of $9.5 million. The goal of her program is to reduce pregnancy-related mortality, which has more than doubled in the last 30 years. Now, the whole work is based on a very simple principle, that the stronger predictor of good health in children is the health of their mother. So what she's going to do with these $9.5 million is contribute to the design and implementation of the first of its kind, two-generation postpartum clinic and research and training center at USC. And this clinic will be providing care to postpartum women and their newborns simultaneously, bringing together the OBGYN, medicine, and pediatrics experts in the same place. This center will provide comprehensive care and will also include psychiatric support and behavioral pediatrics, and will address social determinants of health that affect a woman's ability to maintain her own health while caring for the newborn. Interestingly enough, integral of this program is the partnership with the Illinois Department of Public Health, establishing a health task force that through implementing statewide initiatives will carry this program across the state of Illinois, and the name of the program actually is Promote Illinois. It's for the entire state. And finally, I want to talk to you for a minute about two of our faculty members in architecture, Paul Anderson and Paul Preisner, who were chosen a few weeks ago by the State Department to curate the U.S. Pavilion exhibition at the 2020 Venice Biennale. The Venice Biennale is a big deal. It is the oldest and most prestigious of the world's architecture biennales, and USC's selection as the commissioner of the exhibition and the commissioner of the U.S. Pavilion is important because frequently this is done by non-academic entities, and it is very rare, especially for a public university, to be selected. What we know is that in the past, only UCLA and Michigan have taken this role, and it's the first time, actually, that a public university is taking this role alone, without a partner. So it's an extraordinary achievement for USC, for our College of Architecture, Design, and the Arts, and for our faculty. It's the second time that Chicago is curating the U.S. Pavilion. The last time was a partnership between the Art Institute and the University of Chicago. Their project is called American Framing, which explores the conditions and socioeconomic effects of American wood-framed construction. Arguably, this was a method that democratized housing ownership in the U.S. in the late 19th and the early 20th century, and they have a wonderful exhibition. I hope that we will have the opportunity through ASAC and through the board meeting in March to bring them here to present you with some of the images of what the U.S. Pavilion will look like and how they're going to go about curating this exhibition. I'm also very happy to know that there is also collaboration. There's a faculty member from the School of Architecture at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign that is going to participate in this effort. I want to make sure that you all know that you will be invited for the opening reception of the Biennale in May, which will be co-hosted by the U.S. Embassy, Guggenheim Foundation, and UAC. And as you saw yesterday, the John Marshall School, we know how to brand events, so you be sure that there are going to be a lot of red dots in that reception. So once again, congratulations, Mr. Chairman and officers of the board, and thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Chancellor.